Sri Lalita Madhava, Act 1, Sayam Utsava, An Evening Festival. Scene 2. Accompanied by his friends, Lord Krishna enters. Krishna speaks. Friend Madhu Mangal, look, look. The Surabhi cows have lost interest in eating the abundant thick grasses, and their voices are now choked up with constant mooing. They move their necks here and there, and their beautiful eyes restlessly wander on the path. They long to return to Gokula. Madhu Mangal speaks. This is a great kindness for a Brahmana exhausted from wandering in this great forest with these Surabhi cows so affectionate to their calves. Rama says, look, look. After taking 3 or 4 quick steps, the cows turn from their calves before them and crane their necks to see Krishna behind them. They love Krishna more than their own calves. Krishna says, looking westward, the sun is no longer able to move in the sky that now declines to support it. Its strength diminished by the transformation of time. With weakened rays, the sun's disk rests first on the top of a banyan tree and now on the western horizon. Rama says, look, look! Here the tall lotus flowers mock the mountain peaks. Here is a cloud of cow dung dust. We are near Braja village. Let us rid ourselves of this fatigue by diving in the Yamuna. He exits with his friends. Krishna says, friend Madhu Mangal, look, look! Creating Paja water by making new Chandrakanta jewels melt, and Argya water by making jewel-filled waves in the ocean, throwing handfuls of flowers in the form of glittering stars to its friends the different directions, and making great waves in the nectar ocean of transcendental love, the splendid moon now rises. Madhu Mangal speaks, dear friend, what is the use of this tiny spotted moon? Look, in the sky of the network of these vines, there are 16,000 spotless moons. Krishna looks and says, friend, you say the truth. Although in many ways they are alike, with a single stroke, these many moons have clearly eclipsed this one moon in the sky. Even though it is filled with ever-fresh nectar, even though it is always very pleasing to the eyes, even though its effulgence wilts the forest of lotus flowers, and even though it is very pure and splendid in its complete fullness, this moon that bears the mark of a deer is now completely defeated by the beautiful golden faces of the doe-eyed girls of Braja. Madhu Mangal says, friend, listen with rapt attention. As in a Kadamba grove to the south, a girl chants a magic spell to attract you. Krishna says, Saibya's little flute, which enchants the entire world, is now playing. This flute's pastimes have made my own flute become stunned. Eagerly going forward, he says, both Bhadra and her Veena are very beautiful. Both speak sweetly and both have tumi-gored breasts. Both are graceful as new flowering vines. Both enchant me and rob me of my peacefulness. Madhu Mangal says, wonderful, wonderful. Friend, some girl is playing a Veena in the middle of the Jamuna. Krishna smiles. Repeatedly reciting the beautiful and spiritual invocation to the drama of transcendental amorous pastimes, Shama's glorious Veena brings me great happiness. Happily walking about, he says, with their sweet musical tinkling, the bracelets on Padma's wrists are now drowning me in the waves of transcendental love. Glancing in all directions, he says, why is not even the fragrance of Chandravali present here? Let us go to the garden near Karela's house to see if we can find her. He begins to walk there. Madhu Mangal, looking ahead, says, here comes Kundalata, the wife of Upananda's son Subhadra. Kundalata speaks, Krishna, why do you not say something to glorify this Ashok tree blossoming out of season? Krishna, glancing at the Ashok tree, says to himself, is this unseasonable blossoming of the Ashok tree not the wonderful expert work of Chandravali's foot? And with longing, he says, the tinkling of Chandravali's golden ankle bells are like the cooing of a flock of swans. They are a series of mystic mantras that delight my ears. They must have passed through this forest of Ashok trees. Note, It is said that an Ashok tree will suddenly burst into bloom when kicked by a beautiful girl. Kundalata says, "Oh, handsome one, even though Bharunda confined her at home, I've expertly brought Chandravali here." Krishna asks, "Why has Bharunda suddenly become so harsh?" Kundalata answers, "Not only Bharunda, Jatila and all the other old gopis also become very harsh." Chandravali enters with Padma and says, "My wicked old mother-in-law may rebuke me, and the Rahu planet of infamous gossip may devour the moon of my family. Still, my friend, the two bumblebees of my eyes cannot stop yearning to taste the Madhvika nectar of Krishna's lotus face." Krishna, approaching Chandravali, happily says, "O slender girl, your face and the playful movements of your eyebrows have defeated the moon and forced him to flee to the sky where he restlessly moves about, unable to find shelter anywhere. To serve the face that defeated him, the effulgent moon has now assumed the form of your teeth. Because your teeth are thus many ovaly moons, Chandra, you are Chandravali." Kundalata says, "On the pretext of being reflected in your pearl necklace, the expert Chandravali I have brought here now embraces your chest." Krishna smiles and says, "Kundalata, why have you brought Chandravali?" Kundalata says, "O Prince of Gokul, Govardhan Gopa is an illusion. You are her real husband. So now I am your sister-in-law." Chandravali, resisting with knitted eyebrows, says, "Arrogant woman, Kundalata is deliberately attracting a bee to bite me." Kundalata says, "O brother-in-law, this girl who lives in the forest is simply talking idly. The bee of Vrindavan is not very expert, for he has not even begun to drink the honey of these lotus flowers." Note the word Po'u Malim may also be interpreted to mean the friend of Padma. In this way, the last sentence of this verse may be interpreted, "This bee of Vrindavan is not very expert, for he has not even begun to drink the honey of Padma's friend, Chandravali." Padma says, "Liar, stop, stop. This bumblebee wandering in the forest may easily get Vishaka's friend, Radha, but he shall not easily get Padma's friend, Chandravali." Kundalata says, "Chandravali, we know what you want. Why be ashamed? Decorate Lord Hari's chest with a necklace that is the friend of your large raised breasts." Chandravali, with jealous anger, says, "Kundalata, you should decorate it with the strands of pearls on your own neck." Kundalata replies, "Madhava, Krishna, put flowers on the vine of Chandravali's ear." Chandravali says, "Don't block the path of Braja's prince when he yearns to see his beloved." Kundalata says, "Friend, aside from you, who is his beloved?" Padma says, "Friend of Radha, stop." Krishna says, "Lotus-eyed one, when you are not present, suffering never touches my heart, for Radha at once attacks and forcibly enters it. He becomes very frightened and says, 'Oh, that is not what I mean. I mean to say that when you are not present, Radha never touches my heart, for suffering at once attacks and forcibly enters it.'" Padma says, "Great personalities as yourself never speak lies. What you first said was not a lie." A voice from behind the scenes says, "Kundalata, yes, yes, you don't know how Govardhan has become cruel and hard as a mountain of stones." Kundalata says, "To hell with her, to hell with her. Angry Bharunda has made Govardhan angry." Chandravali, with fear, says, "Friend Padma, the old lady growls like a tigress. Let us slip away." And then she exits with Padma. Kundalata says, "I will go to Yashoda Devi, the queen of Gokula." And then Kundalata exits. Krishna, beginning to walk, with longing he says, "The sweet tinkling of her sash of bells as Vishakha practices the archery of uninhibited amorous pastimes has become in my heart the singing sound of Kamadeva's bow of flowers." Looking to his left, Krishna says, "Friend, Marumango, Kundalata spoke the truth. She was not as sweet as Radha is. I see my mother," and then he exits. Yashoda enters accompanied by Purnamasi, Gargi, Rohini, and others. Yashoda says, "Friend Rohini, I don't know why my son is so late." Kundalata enters and says with a smile, "Dear mother, don't be unhappy. Your son is late because many beautiful demigoddesses flying in airplanes in the sky worshipped him with a shower of smiles and flowers." Rohini said, "Today I have seen the beauty of two girls so splendid, even the most lovely demigoddesses become envious seeing them." Yashoda said, "O noble lady, Chandravali, Navamalika, Radha and Madhavi fulfill all my desires with the great flood of their good qualities. One boy and one slender young girl especially delight the bumblebee of my eyes with the honey of their beauty." Purnamasi says, "O queen of Gokula, all the people in Gokula feel in this way." Gargi says, "O Kundalata, why do you again and again bring Radha to the place of Gokula's queen Yashoda?" Yashoda replies, "Durvasa Muni gave Radha the benediction that whoever ate her expert cooking would live a long life. When I heard this, I myself arranged that Radha would always cook for my son." Purnamasi says, "O queen of Gokula, Jatila is suspicious of Krishna." And Yashoda says, "Why does she suspect my little boy?" Kundalata in a low voice says, "It is true that Queen Yashoda's son is a little boy. Still he lifted Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy ball." Purnamasi, seeing Krishna arrive, happily says, "Here is the person that crowns the kings of the many universes. Here is the sapphire born from the jewel mine of Braja's queen." Krishna enters and says, "Mother, please wipe the tears from your eyes. Here I am." Rohini offers arati with a lamp and other articles of worship and then says in Sanskrit, "Fixing her eyes on the cow path, your mother has passed the last 6 hours of this very long day with great difficulty. My child, she loves you dearly. Please her with an embrace." Krishna says, placing his head on his mother's lap, "Mother, give me my jewel ornament." Krishna plays as a child. Purnamasi says, "Yashoda bathes you, washing away with the milk mixed with the Madhvika nectar of her love pouring from the pitchers of her breasts, the covering of dust raised by the Surabhi cow's hooves and the tilak markings drawn in mineral pigments from the Govardhan Hill." Kundalata, with a playful joking smile, says, "Krishna, you should drink the nectar milk from the queen's breasts. After all, you must be exhausted from enjoying pastimes with the gopis in the forest." Yashoda says, "My girl, why do you smile like this? Look, Krishna has not yet passed his early childhood. What is the fault of his drinking my breast milk?" Kundalata says, "Noble lady, Queen Yashoda speaks the truth. After all, just today, Krishna has played the Maharas pastime with the little boys." Note, the word Balanam may also be interpreted to mean of the gopis. In the second interpretation, the text reads, "After all, just today Krishna has played the Maharas pastime with the gopis." Yashoda says, "Noble lady, what is this pastime named Maharas?" Krishna enters embarrassed and glances at Kundalata with knitted eyebrows. Purnamasi, smiling, says, "O queen of the gopis, it is a kind of dance." Kundalata, concealing her actual intention with the following enigma, says, "A certain caged shikori bird burns with thirst. O lord of Radha, you should meet it among the Ashok trees." Krishna moves his eyebrows in assent. A voice from behind the scenes says, "My heart is tortured because I cannot see the moon of your face. O child, please come here. Give me now the cooling sandalwood paste of your embrace." Krishna says, "Here is my father, who wishes what is best for me. Let me please him." Accompanied by Yashoda and others, he exits. Kundalata, walking about, says, "By good fortune, Lalita has now brought Radharani to this forest of Vanira trees." Then, as described, Radha enters. Radha says, "Lalita, you should glorify this evening that makes all directions sprout with happiness." Note, if the word asa is interpreted to mean desire, then the verse may be translated, "Lalita, you should glorify this evening which makes our desires for transcendental happiness sprout. Lalita says, I say it is a beautiful night. Kundalata approaches and says, Lalita, this lotus flower is the smiling, sidelong glance on this evening space. You do not worship Krishna with this flower. Radharani says, her bodily hair standing up in ecstasy, Lalita, what is this word Krishna I've heard? Now a guest of my ears, this word makes me mad with bliss. Kundalata says, Friend, that is the nature of this extraordinary thing. Even though again and again it is tasted, it is always as if it were never tasted before. Lalita says, Kundalata, it is not only its extraordinary nature, but also the deep love of the hearer that makes this word Krishna newer and newer at every moment. Radharani says, Lalita, without my answering you, what further would you say about this? Lalita says, All glories to the Prince of Braja, whose bodily luster mocks the pride of the fresh rain clouds, and the sound of whose flute eagerly breaks the lock of the sashes of the most chaste girls faithfully devoted to their husbands. Radharani, shedding tears, says, Kundalata, how is it that even though he has become a guest in my unfortunate ear, this person has never entered the path of my unfortunate eyes? Kundalata says, O thirsty one, early tomorrow evening Vishakha will bring you to meet this person. Radharani says, My dear friend has reminded me well. For once your Prince of Gokul will appear like a splendid lightning flash that fills the eyes of this unfortunate person with wonder. Then Krishna enters. Krishna says, The sweet tinkling of Lalita's bracelets, which eclipses the sparrow's singing, now lures my heart into this bamboo grove. Again he listens with rapt attention, his bodily hair standing up in ecstasy. He says, Moving through the air in waves of sweetness, the tinkling sound of Radha's ankle bell silences the cooing of the Sarasa birds maddened with amorous passion and fills my heart with a host of ecstasies. Radharani says, filled with wonder, and she speaks in Sanskrit, O beautiful faced one, who is this creative person standing before us? With the sharp chisels of his loving glances, he is splitting the hard stones of many women's devotion to their husbands, and with the luster of his body surpassing the brilliance of countless emeralds, he is simultaneously constructing private meeting places for his pastimes. Lalita says, Ah, here is the Lord of your life. Radha, maddened with love, she again says in Sanskrit, Is this a nectar moon to make the lotus flowers of the gopis blossom with happiness? Is this a regal festival of youthfulness appearing in Gokula? Is this a garden of flowers to delight the cuckoo bird of my heart? O slender-waisted one, this person I see splashes my eyes with waves of nectar. Krishna, filled with wonder, says, What wonderful mystic power is this? Again and again it strikes me with waves of nectar, but yet it also creates a burning thirst within my heart. Ah, I know! This is a lake of bliss that overflows its banks in the streams of sweetness that are these playful sidelong glances. Again gazing at Radha, he says, Is this really a lake? These bodily hairs standing up in ecstasy are the moss in this lake. These breasts are two Chakravaka birds now swimming apart. This face, hands, and feet are five lotus flowers, and these arms are two lotus stems. These eyes are two restlessly moving sapari fishes, and this very pure love is the clear water that fills this lake that now stands before me. Radha exclaims, Aha! I don't know why I've become so dizzy. Please hold me up with your hand. Lalita says, Friend, be steady. She places Radha's arm on her shoulder. Krishna says, coming nearer, Radha, embarrassed by seeing your splendid face, the moon has entered the forest of Lord Shiva's matted hair, where he repeatedly bathes in the waves of the celestial Ganges, and has become thin with austere fasting to become as beautiful as your face. He then approaches near her. Radha, signaling with a sidelong glance, says, Lalita, protect me! Krishna says, When it closes shut, he closes shut. When it blossoms, he blossoms. Krishna is under the dominion of your dark, sidelong glance. Radha with a choked up voice says, Kundalata, stop this crest jewel of handsome men. I am only an unfortunate girl under the dominion of my elders and superiors. Jatila then enters and says, Great trickster, you have made all the young girls of Gokula fall from the path of religion. Only the young bride of my saintly son has escaped your clutches. Spare us from having even once to say your name. Taking Radha and the other girls with her, she exits. Then Krishna says, My beloved is gone. Let us now go and find the cows. And they all exit.